With a country divided, the republic at risk, and morality being redefined, it's time to gather round the campfire, get back to basics, and spark the revival that this country so desperately needs. This is the American Campfire Revival with Kirk Cameron.
We've been talking so much about revival, and we spoke about how revival often has two elements to it. Revivals come in the form of tidal waves and rising tides. And I love these two pictures. You think of a tidal wave. Now, often tidal waves can be destructive, but imagine a tidal wave that is a divine attack on evil. Imagine a tidal wave of God's Spirit that is devastating to darkness. That's the kind of tidal wave that we pray for. A rush of God's Spirit when He tears open the heavens and He comes down like He did on the day of Pentecost. That's a tidal wave move of God's Spirit. And then a rising tide, where the tide of biblical thinking, because our hearts have been flooded with God's Spirit and now our minds are being transformed by the Word of God, and we begin to transform the spaces around us until the whole nation is transformed through the institutions of the family and the church and business and civil government. Today, I want to talk with you about this chapter here, which is called Characteristics of Revival. And common to all biblical revivals are these three signs, these three characteristics, these three qualities. Here's the first one, okay? Genuine revival is characterized, first of all, by a powerful and widespread outpouring of the Spirit. You see, it's not something that you and I can call down from the heavens like magic and make something happen. We call out to the heavens because we want God to move, but He is the one who sends revival in His time and in His way, like He did on the day of Pentecost, where all the godly Jews, the family of faith, came together and they were coming for the purposes of God, and God tore open the heavens and He sent His Spirit and miraculous things began to happen. I believe in miracles. I believe that God can supernaturally invade our time-space bubble, and He can do things that are outside of what normally takes place. He's done it in the past and He can do it in our day. Listen to this incredible story from David Brainerd. David Brainerd was a man of prayer, and he prayed in the snow until it melted around him and was stained by his blood as he coughed away his life with tuberculosis. Now, here's a guy who had a real virus. Here's a guy who had a real problem with tuberculosis that was so bad he was coughing up blood. And if any of you have had tuberculosis, or you've had a terrible sickness where you've coughed up blood, I've had that in the past, it is awful. And he's out in the snow praying so long that it's melting around him. And he was praying for God's Spirit to come among the Native Americans that he had been sharing the message of the gospel to for so long. And this is what he said. The power of God seemed to descend on the assembly, quote, like a rushing mighty wind, and with an astonishing energy bore all down before it. Everybody just bore down before this tangible presence of God. He said, I stood amazed at the influence that seized the audience almost universally and could compare it to nothing more aptly than the irresistible force of a mighty torrent. Or swelling deluge. Deluge is a flood that with its insupportable weight and pressure bears down and sweeps before it whatever is in its way. That reminds me, like, I'm here in California. When I'm standing on the Pacific Ocean and I wade out into the surf and a giant wave comes toward me, it sweeps everything away. You cannot resist it. You get in its way and it carries you with it. Almost all persons, he said, of all ages were bowed down with concern together over their sin, no doubt, and over the peculiar moving of God in their presence. and scarcely one was able to withstand the shock of this surprising operation. You see, this isn't something that we sort of whip up emotionally. This is something that God initiates by his own divine decree. And it is a divine attack on darkness and evil, and a tidal wave of his spirit that rushes into our hearts and into our minds and makes us very aware of his presence. Here's the second characteristic of a genuine revival. Revival changes the moral and social climate of a community. You see, real revival, again, doesn't stop at the heart. It moves into the mind, transforms the way that lawyers think. It changes the way teachers in school think. It changes the way architects and construction workers think. It changes the way doctors and nurses think and the way that civil government leaders do business. When we change the way that we think about church and family and marriage, all of a sudden, society begins to be transformed. And genuine revival results in a total transformation of the social climate of a community. Listen to this. As God moves, people are first transformed, and then these revived people transform all that they encounter. Just what we've been saying. Here's the third sign of genuine revival. Revival results in the establishment of truth in man and society. You see, it's not just a touchy-feely goosebump kind of thing. It results in a changing of truth, and it is embedded permanently or re-embedded in a society permanently. Here's some descriptions of that. A man named Prattney writes this. He says, revival's not magical. It is not mystical. It is, as far as men are concerned, a heartfelt return to love and faith in the living and written word. You get that? Revival's not magical. It's not hocus pocus. It's not rub the religious genie and poof, here comes revival like pixie dust out of the sky. It is nothing more than a supernatural event that results in a heartfelt return to loving the living and written word of God. The Bible says that the word of God is living. It is alive. It is active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces to the division of soul and spirit. And it discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. It cuts through the lies and the hypocrisy. It slices right through and chisels right past all of the selfishness and gets to the root of who we are and why we're here. And when we return to a love for this book, we can be sure that we are on the cusp of a full-blown revival. Listen to this. Revival involves the conversion of men and institutions. If schools don't change, if government doesn't change, if the church doesn't change, and families and marriages don't change, if the way we do business in the marketplace doesn't change, we've stopped short of genuine revival.
Hey guys, it's Kirk here. Did you know that another option to traditional insurance even exists out there? I get that it may come as a surprise, since we're so conditioned to think traditional insurance is our only option, but that's simply not true. My family has been using Christian Healthcare Ministries over the last several years, and I cannot recommend them enough to other like-minded believers looking to do things differently than what we've been told to do. CHM is the faith-based alternative to insurance. And most importantly, with CHM, we know that our money is going to help other fellow Christians when they're in need. And this is how we like to steward our dollars when it comes to healthcare. Are you tired of your healthcare the same old way and want to do things the better way? I highly recommend you start by checking out CHM and see if this is an option that could work for your family's healthcare. It does for ours. It's not harder, but it's different in the best way. Learn more today by visiting chministries.org/Kirk Cameron. Again, that's chministries.org/Kirk Cameron.
And we must continually fight spiritual entropy. You know what entropy is? Entropy is a scientific term that refers to the winding down of all things. If I just leave my house, entropy will eventually make it so that it starts to fall apart. Entropy is why we get old, and it's why we eventually deteriorate. It's why things don't get more organized over time. They get less organized over time. Just look at your teenager's bedroom. I've got a few of those upstairs right now. Entropy can happen to us spiritually, to where we wind down and become lazier, messier. We have less life in us, and we've got to fight against that. The author says here, we need to constantly add fuel to the fire within us and keep the flames burning. It's like this fire right here. I'm going to do this right now. It's because I want to be out here for the rest of the evening. But check this out. We've got to add fuel to the fire constantly, or entropy will take that fire and it will eventually be consumed and it will burn out. And so I want to stoke it back up. I want to add more fire, more wood rather, and fuel to the fire. How do I do that with my faith? I get into God's word. I read it. I study God's word with books like this. I have a campfire in my backyard for 100 days, twice, and then more, like I'm doing right now with you, to stoke the spiritual fire in my heart so that I don't grow cold in my faith toward God. What can you be doing? Could you start a campfire in your backyard? Could you have a time in the morning or the evening or when it is convenient for you? And if it's not convenient, make time to put spiritual fuel into your heart and into your head so that your spiritual fire doesn't grow cold. We need to do that. We understand that God knows you and I are in desperate need for Him to send revival. He knows that we need Him to renew life within us. And He has come down many times to bring us life. And I want to talk with you about specific times that He's done it throughout history, in our country and around the world. I'm going to give you examples, and that is going to help to fire us up to call out to God to do it again in our time, to tear open the curtain of heaven, to open the windows and send the flood, the tidal wave of His Spirit, to fill us up. And I'm hoping that you'll continue to join me so that we can then be the rising tide in America. That rising tide of faith and character, of trusting in God and morality, and the kind of virtue that has action and courage and energy written all over it, so that we then go into the world together with our kids and we begin to change everything that we touch. Like Midas, the king, who everything he touched turned to gold. How about the family of faith? Everything we touch turns a little bit more like heaven. We start touching things and a marriage because we're in covenant with God and we're serious about faith and the word of God. Our marriage becomes heavenly. Wherever we touch our businesses, it becomes more in line with the principles of heaven and the laws of liberty. And it begins to bless our neighbors. And we begin to get involved in civil government. And we begin to see the laws changing. And communities improved. This is what we're here for, everybody. And I want to help learn this together with you. And then together, follow some of these guides from the past so that we can redeem the future. I hope you'll check out the website at AmericanCampfireRevival.com. Get a copy of the book we've been going through, The American Covenant, The Untold Story. And then also, remember, you can start an American Campfire Revival study group at your house and teach these things to others. It's simple as making a pot of coffee and starting a fire in the fireplace. Just don't start a chimney fire like I did the other day, or a campfire in your backyard, or just a group at your office or at your church or whatever, and study the American Campfire the American Covenant book, and then study through the video series that I made specifically for this, and then discuss application steps, things that you can practically do in your community right away. I believe that we're going to see miraculous things. I think we're going to see new opportunities from God, and we're going to see more and more tensions building to possibly great division and conflict. And when that happens, the army of compassion needs to be there, full of faith, full of character, and full of an understanding of what to do in situations like that. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and your family and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the American Campfire Revival Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. If you'd like to learn more and join the movement, visit kirkcameron.com.